Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday night, and it's time for Raising Expectation, which is your show, which we hope will lift your expectations, not from without, but from within, where the Lord works in your life as you put your faith and trust in Him. We count it a privilege that you're with us on Monday nights. We want to thank you for the cards, not the cards, for the emails and texts you send us. And I really appreciate the things that you share. And we just thank God for the opportunity to share with you. Had a great verse I wanted to give you tonight. You know, all of us are believers. We all are born again, blood-bought believers at Calvary. Jesus Christ, we believe, is the Son of God. And He died on the cross for your sins and mine. All we need to do is repent, look to Him, put our faith in Him, and then strap in and hold on. Because He's got a plan for your life. And He's going to work in your life in a powerful way. But I thought a great verse was looking at here in Psalms. It just grabbed a hold of me, and I was going to give it to you real quick. Psalm 27 and verse 13 and 14 just really grabbed a hold of me. A lot of people are saying, Joe, there's so much going on in the nation, so many difficulties, so many things. Actually, we're afraid. We're pretty frightened of what's going on. And then we looked at the Lord, and the Bible says right there, God reminds us of this. He says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Heaven's going to be great, but in the land of the living where we are right now, the Lord's going to be working, he says, in the land of the living. That's you and me, folks. That's expectations getting raised up. So verse 14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. And again, it says, wait for the Lord. And why is that important? Oh, I love Psalm 119:89. You've heard us say it before, but remember Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. Oh, I love being on a winning team, don't you? Great to be a part. And speaking of a winning team, the Lord gives us friends and people that we have the ability and the doors to work with in life. And it's always a blessing. You know that we have a team of co-hosts here with Raising Expectations. My life's blessed by them every week. So we're going to jump right in because I get asked every week, who was that person again, or who is that person? So I'm just going to start right in and on the West Coast and share with you who our team is quickly. And first of all, we have, as you know, Dr. Paul Hall, who's located north of Santa Barbara in Lompoc, California. And Paul is a retired pastor. He's a writer. He's a teacher, a professor. He knows how to take the Word of God and simply instill it in a life. He's also a great note taker. We call him the scroll keeper. He takes notes in every show. And he's got, I think he's had 5 or 6 book tablets ready to go. Tablet sounded better, didn't it, Paul? That sounded cool, more cool than
I think so. Yeah, that sounds good.
That was good. Anyway, love you, man. And this guy's great. And he's going to jump in and share some with us tonight, too. We've got a great show for you tonight. You're really going to appreciate who's coming here. So if Paul and I jump out of California and wing our way westward, we're going to get wet because we're going to go east is where we're headed. And we're going to get to the great state of Georgia there in the south. And near Dalton, Georgia, right there, we're going to find Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Tank, or Craig Thayer, but goes by Tank. And the two of them, actually, we have Stephanie right here, and there is Craig. The two of them are two of the most great people you're ever going to meet in your life. Stephanie is, as you all know, a great health and wellness coach, and she also is a great discipleship leader who helps women and just gives the word of God, not just physically help, but mentally, spiritually. That covers all the bases, get your expectations raised. And her program, as you know, on her website is called Live Life Out Loud. Think about that. Live life out loud. Tell everybody what God's doing in your life. Don't hold it inside because I might run out. So I save it. Don't save it. He'll give you another great thing to share if you share everything that he gives you each and every day. So live life out loud. Look that up and see what she's doing there. And she'll always have new things for you to see that God's giving her to share with you so that you can live your life out loud and share it with other people just the way she does. She's a tremendous blessing in our life. And her husband, Dr. Tank there, we go by Tank, he's a great blessing in our life. He's a trauma surgeon. I have to say, he's the guy that when something happens, they say, what do we do now? And God has given him the ability and the heart to look at a situation, whether he's on a mission field or a hospital, wherever he might be. He knows how to see things through the eyes of the Holy Spirit and work to put people back together in very important times. Greg, we love you, man. He's not only a great doctor, he also is a great dad. He's a great coach, water polo coach. I tried that at Hardin Simmons once. Remember, Paul, they like to drown me. It's a miracle I still lived through that summer. But anyway, and they kept, we won't tell you what they did with the shorts. It was real, I didn't think that was fair. But anyway, I was their old
servant. That's for the newbies.
That's what they called it. Yeah, it was really bad. But in any event, looking right along here, Craig is also an author. He's got a great book. It's on our website. Go to our website there and find Saved. The book Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary. And aren't you glad that when we look, God is always at work in the ordinary things of our lives. We don't have to go looking for him because if you open your day in prayer, he finds you wherever you are. Finding God in the Ordinary, Save, a trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. You'll want to check and get a copy of that book. It's on the website, and you can get more information on that. Also, my book's on there. I invite you to take a look there. Zig Ziglar endorsed this book. In fact, he's the one that threatened me to write it from a sermon series I did on faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. So it produces authentic hope. That's a hope like we just talked about. Waiting on the Lord and that kind of a hope makes it work. The nucleus of your faith, if it's like an atom, the nucleus is trust. And you learn how to trust God when you look to him or you live for him like a surgeon. I don't know how Craig does that. I think about being a doctor and standing in front of something like that. And I think, oh, I don't think I could do it. You know, of course, you got to be able to look at blood, too. I guess that helps. So I can't do that very well either.
Yeah, just not my own.
Yeah. Not my own. That's right.
Secret fact is I don't like having my blood drawn, so but I can stick anybody else.
That's great. That's great. I have a horrible time with that. I have to look the other way and start singing, abiding and abiding and use some way to get through it. But anyway, Craig is you're gonna get to know Craig more and more if it's the first time you're meeting everybody. And if you already know us, thanks for being with us and come back again. So Ron, Pastor Ron is in a very important meeting tonight. We're having a little fun with that one, but he's been tied up. So I hope they untie him later. He may pop in if they let him out and gets through it. I doubt if he will, though. So we had a little fun with him on that one. We knew it was coming, and sure enough, I'm sure he'll get it all under control with what he's got to do. So we miss you, Ron, and Ron's from McKinney, Texas. So Ron is another great guy that we just love him. He's our favorite pastor, I'd say, in Texas. I really love and appreciate him, and we all do. So right now, we want to tell you about who's with us tonight. So this is the team. This is the family. This is the co-host group. And feel free to write them. Again, our website is bbsradio.com/raising-expectations. And you can go there, and you'll see a little bit later as we wrap up later. But it'll have a lot of information for you about everybody you see and a little bit of their story. So you'll like to read on that. So we have a very special guest, as you know, tonight. I'm sure you've probably been following this. And she is also in Texas. And you know that she was going to be with us a while back, and it didn't work out. And I'm bringing up her notes right here that I've got. She's an incredible lady. She is an intelligence agent. And she's one of those that can find anything. She's the one that made it clear to me. She said, Joe, if you put your name out there once, the whole world knows who you are. So don't worry about it. That's where trusting God comes in. And he takes care of all that. Stephanie is our guest. She's an emergency management consultant, a complete threat preparedness, much like Frank, who is the founder there of Black Rhino, and she is the intelligence agents for that. Stephanie's highly trained in intelligence gathering and deciphering and assimilation, what that means. And she's pretty busy, I would say, today. Along with us, with the U.S. military instruction, she has some training with the IDF. She currently serves as executive protection agent for the Black Rhino Agency with Frank, who you know that we should have learned to love Frank, even if he is a Dallas Cowboy fan first. But anyway, we both of us lost this year. We're still mourning. But at any rate, to lose the Super Bowl. Moving right along. Sorry, Stephanie. I know you like football. But Stephanie's a strong Christian. She has a great testimony to share about what God's doing in her life. And you know, people like this, let's bring up her picture and welcome her in. Let's welcome her first. We'll say a word. I'm going to give you the round of applause, Stephanie. This is patented and famous. There's Stephanie right there. And that's the picture. Yeah, welcome. Good to be on our program. Good to be with us. And there is Black Rhino emblem, you know, in the agency that she works with in Frank's company. And then also, you might remember, there's a lot of stuff that we learned from Frank when he was on it. Frank says that Stephanie's one of the very, very incredible agent that works with him as a part of that team. And he just thanks God for her ministry and her expertise. So, Stephanie, we want to welcome you tonight. There she is, ladies and gentlemen, and bring you on right now. Thanks for being with us. And just share a little bit of your testimony. Tell us about yourself, and we'll just kind of go from there. And welcome to the family. You were here before we started, so you're part of the team. You all know, you know us. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I was speaking with Frank earlier today, and he said, do me a huge favor, will you please? And I'm like, what? What is it? He's like, just say go Cowboys for me from Frank. And I'm like, I couldn't possibly do that. I couldn't possibly.
Yeah. Oh, why?
There you go, guys. I told you.
Yeah, he's pretty relentless with the Cowboys. But I originally got saved when I was, you know, was a little girl, right? A young child. But I guess part of the reason I ended up in intelligence is because I have a lot of questions, and I need a lot of answers. And something that really challenged me was just the Bible itself, because in trying to read the Bible, after I first got saved, I actually avoided it for a while because it just seemed like there was contradictory information and I didn't know how to reconcile that. I didn't know how to process that. And it didn't seem like anybody had the answers. And that really bothered me. So as I've moved through life and had more life experiences and leaned more into my faith and into who God was and really trying to get to know him and taking the hard questions to him, the more I've learned about the heart of God and his character and his faithfulness and the truth of his word. And I've been through many experiences that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. And I have been very angry with the Lord, but I took that anger to him, much like a three-year-old child would dad. Like if dad says, no, you can't have this toy or whatever. And the kid comes over and is trying to box dad in the legs and is just angry, but taking that anger to the Lord and letting him show me his goodness and his faithfulness and the truth of his word through that. And just kind of wrestling with him through things. And it's not been easy and it's not been overnight, but it's something that is absolutely worth pursuing. Mm-hmm. And something that I was going to share was back, I guess, in the beginning of February when I was supposed to be on originally. I had a stillborn baby girl, and just, you know, one day, I mean, I don't want to get too much into the story, but just found out that she didn't have a heartbeat, had to go in, said, there's no heartbeat. You're going to need to come back and we're going to induce. And it was like, it was about 36 hours later, they were having me come back in. So I went home that night and I was kind of a closet nerd in high school. I was in the chemistry club. I was super into biology and all that stuff. So I'd been to the morgue anatomy lab. So I understood on a molecular level what was happening the moment her heart stopped beating and she was inside my belly. And that was very difficult for me. So on the way home, I started throwing up just from emotional upset and things like that. And so through the night, I just kind of would cry and cry and cry and then throw up and just beg God, say, I know that you can bring her back. I know that you can bring her back. I know that you could. And I believed that he could. And he would say, yes, but I'm not going to. And I just argued with him all night long, wrestled with him. And finally, as dawn was breaking, I was like, you know, okay, I give up, but you're going to have to carry me through this because I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I cannot do it. I don't want to take another breath. And went to the hospital that day. And I was just at 34 weeks. So just a little less than they consider full term. Mm-hmm. And they induced labor. And I had her. And what happened was she had a true cord knot. And that true cord knot had gotten pulled taut. And so it cut off all of her oxygen, it cut off all of her nutrients and all of that. But we knew what happened. And that was another thing that I wouldn't have been able to live through if I didn't have the answer to why. And a lot of people don't get that answer, you know? And that's something the Lord knew I wouldn't have been able to do. Another thing is I was not full term yet. Another thing was that I did not have the nursery ready yet. Like it wasn't ready. And that would have been so much harder for me to go through and to move through. My mom at the time she developed a very aggressive dementia disease at 58. She was diagnosed. So by the age of 60, she was nonverbal and non-ambulatory. She had a stillborn baby girl when I was 5. So I had a baby sister. And I wasn't able to speak with my mom about the experience of having a stillborn child and what she went through and what that felt like. But what I was able to do through the goodness of God is be able to know her at a deeper level, even when I couldn't have a conversation with her. Mm-hmm. And what I also experienced through that was I felt God's tangible presence with me. I felt like he had scooped me up and set me on his lap. Yeah. And was rocking me and consoling me and caring for me for about the first 3 months. And it was as painful as it was also exquisite and beautiful as it was to feel him in every way, in every capacity with me, caring for me, loving on me, hurting with me. But just taking such incredible care of me through this process. And I had some other believing friends that would just tell me, Stephanie, you are just glowing. You are just glowing. And I mean, it was all him. It was all him. And then like the next 3 months, it felt like I was kind of like standing by his lap. I had my hand on his knee or something. You know, he just legitimately carried me through that experience. And I developed such a connection and such a powerful knowing. Like, I know that I know that I know that he's there, that he's with me, that he loves me, that his word is true. That if you asked me, would I walk through that experience again, I would not be enthusiastic about it, but I absolutely would. Because if I didn't go through that, and if I didn't lean into God and didn't fight through all of that with him, I would not have the relationship that I have with him today. I wouldn't be able to hear him as clearly as I hear him today. And I wouldn't be able to go to him with all of the questions, all of the insecurities, all of the doubts, all of the anger, all of the frustrations that I have, and be able to hear his answers, right? Be able to quiet myself long enough to hear him.
Amen.
What do you think that journey would have been like if you did not have a relationship with God?
I don't think I would be sitting here with you today.
You remind me of the book of Daniel. You're like Bendigo and the two other dudes that are I expect you to do this for me, God. I have faith that you will, but if you don't, I still have faith. And they're standing in the furnace, and the guards see a fourth person in there. That was like you. That was God with you. You were the yes. you represent all three of those guys. You're standing in this furnace, which is not fun, which kind of describes what you just said. I would not want to repeat it, but if I had to, I could get through it, right? So who wants to stand in a furnace? And then God took care of you to get you out of it. So but you're amazing.
Amen. Amen.
He's amazing. I mean, he's amazing. And then he gave me a gift through that, another gift through that. He's given me many gifts through that. We had a nurse there that took pictures of our baby girl, right? And dressed her and clothed her, took pictures of us as a keepsake, as a memory. I was an amateur photographer at that time and did some photography for some of my older kids for their, you know, sports events and banquets and whatnot. And I really wanted to do something to give back. So I got involved with a couple of different Facebook groups like that, you know, mothers of babies born still and things like that. And a couple of True Cord Not groups just to kind of grieve and kind of help understand it. Anyway, so I decided I wanted to do something to give back. And I found this organization called Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. Mm-hmm. And so what I had to do was take some pictures of newborn infants, do a couple of shots of those. So through our church, there was for unwed single moms, there was Embrace Grace. And so I did four newborn photo shoots for them. And I submitted my photos to Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. And so what we are is a group of volunteer photographers, affiliate photographers. So if somebody is going into the hospital and they were, like in my case, they were going to deliver a stillborn, or if the baby is delivered and they have something happen and they're not going to make it, we can either do some pre-mortem or post-mortem photos. We'll take the photos, we edit them, lightly edit them, and we deliver a keepsake photo album for the family in black and white. And so what I was able to do through that was I can go and I can be present with another mom and say, listen, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it through this. I know it feels like that life is over and that you will never experience happiness, joy, or anything, or look forward to anything again in your life, but that's not true. And I'm here to tell you that because I walked through it, right? Because I needed a mom so badly at that time to walk through that door and tell me I've been there and you're going to make it and you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord gave me the gift to be able to do that. And mm-hmm. It's not been easy. It's been difficult. There's something incredibly wrong about holding a deceased infant. It's a very difficult thing. The last two calls that I've taken, one was a little boy who was removed from life support, but he hadn't passed yet. So he's struggling to breathe and that kind of thing. And that's a little bit traumatic because that's kind of what my daughter was doing. And so seeing that on the outside kind of was a little bit triggering, but just to be able to be there and be there for that young baby, because the parents were unable to stay. They hadn't baptized and, you know, people grieve in different ways. So that was super impactful to me. It was very meaningful to me. And the very last call that I took, a little boy was gone, but the mother also passed and she was only 16. So being able to be there and be a support for that family that was there, there was probably about 10 family members there because it was sudden and unexpected. And to be able to help to grieve with that family, we're called to grieve with those who grieve, mourn with those who mourn, celebrate with those who celebrate, and be able to get pictures and deliver that. It's just, it's moving, it's powerful, it's touching, but just being able to use something that was so tragic for something beautiful and something that can serve fellow man, you know, by the grace of God, and is absolutely by God's grace that you can do that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, why God put you through that, but you already answered. The purpose was that you just did what you did. You took a gift of photography and gift of empathy, and you're there for people. So it's amazing.
I think it's a great example too of none of us like the valleys that we have to go through. We just want to live on the mountain, right? But that,
yes,
it doesn't last very long, and it's kind of small if you've ever noticed most of the time. And there's so many times, I think, for believers and even people that are angry at God, that are not believers, that they don't understand, you know, how could this be allowed? How could this happen? And what I find so fascinating is that God always uses those things, whether we are using it in a more open forum, like you're sharing, or we do it smaller and one-on-one, because I'm a mother. I feel it, but yet I have never experienced it. So I wouldn't be able to relate in the same way that you would be able to relate, right? And I love that God gives us these opportunities to use our deepest pain to also show his beauty in it.
Yeah. And the anger thing, so this happened all in 1 year. So I lost the baby girl, 5 months to the day my mother died. I was able to get pregnant again right away because we knew what had happened. So I didn't have to wait very long. So I was pregnant again within, I think it was 2 months. And I was sure that God was going to give me another baby girl, right? Because if he takes something, he always replaces it with something bigger and better and whatever. And so a few months after my mom died, I found out that this little baby was a boy. And I had one girl, she was the oldest, and 5 boys. Mm-hmm. And sorry, 4 boys. And I just lost the little girl and found out I was going to have another boy. I was going to have a 5th boy. And I was like, could you? God, how could you? And I felt like I grieved my baby girl all over again, but I was furious. But wait, there's more. We did the anatomy scan a few months later, and we're looking at it, and I'm like, is that a cleft lip? Is that a cleft lip? And the sonographer was like, that's what I'm trying to see. I'm like, that's a cleft lip. She goes, yeah, I think it's a cleft lip. And I'm like, okay, at that point, I lost it. I was furious. I was like, okay, lose a girl, lose my mom. Think I'm going to give another baby girl. Don't get a baby boy. Now he's got a cleft lip. At that point, I was furious. I'd given up on God. I was like, that's it. You don't exist. You're not doing it. Are you kidding me? I have been so faithful to you this year. I've sang your praises. I've leaned into you. I've said all this wonderful, amazing stuff about you. I have hurt. I've let you take care of me. I do that. And this is the thanks I get for being faithful to you. This is what you're going to do. And I was sure that everything that could be wrong would be wrong with that baby. He was going to have trisomy 18, you know, all this stuff, the cleft lip, going to have all these midline deviations, malformations or whatever. And so we started interviewing, you know, plastic surgeons and, you know, how are we going to fix this, right? What do we need to do? What do we need to know to be prepared when he's born? So I was super angry with God, and I had a lot of choice words for him, and it wasn't pretty at all. And I was equally hurt as I was angry. And it was a very, very difficult season. And I just remember saying one time, you know what, Lord, you know, kind of like you owe me, you know, if you really care about me, if you really love me, I want a healthy baby before the end of this year. And he's like, Steph, you're not even due till mid-January. I'm like, I don't care. You could do it. And I deserve it. You owe me for doing this for you. You owe me. And towards the end of the pregnancy, you know, I was getting lots of sonograms, lots of different testing, just because I had a previous demise to make sure everything was okay. And, you know, I go in for a checkup one time and baby hasn't grown for 2 weeks. They're like, we need to go ahead and, you know, and get him out. And I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I was just kind of just not in a good place at that time. And with the baby girl, I was going to try to have natural childbirth, but you know, after we found out that she passed, I didn't want to try that anymore. So, and I was not interested in trying that with this one. But anyway, so the hospital was right across the street from the doctor's office. So we walked across the street and, you know, we get in there, we get all set up, they do the IV and they start the Pitocin to induce labor. And I start having some pretty good contractions, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, go ahead, let's go ahead and get the epidural. So they call the doctor, and next thing you know, I'm like, I'm feeling weird. I'm not feeling okay. And they're like, well, let's check you and everything. And they're like, okay, you're ready. It's time to push. So I delivered little boy an hour and 10 minutes after they started. So it was completely natural. I'm like, I can't do this. And the nurse said, yes, you can. And something about the way she said it to me, the way she looked at me, I believed her. And so I had him naturally, and he came out. He was the littlest feller of all of them. And he was just beautiful, and he was perfect. And he had an isolated cleft lip. It wasn't in his gum. It wasn't in his palate. It was just not even all the way to his nose. It was so minimal. And that is extremely rare, if you know, not extremely rare, but I would say maybe 25 to 30% of cleft lips. Is that the case? And he was so strong, and he was lifting his head up, and he was the most alert of all the little babies. And like the moment he was born, I just felt this wave of joy and peace and happiness. Then I just remembered all the anger and all the frustration, all the things I'd said to God. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. I'm so, please forget. He's like, it's okay. I understand. I made you. I know. I just want you to know I do love you. I'm here for you. And, it was just like, I mean, just tears of joy and elation, and kind of like the completion of a really, you know, deep stage of grief. Not that it was completely over, but, you know, it was just kind of a reemergence, a rebirth. And it was so just incredible. And that was December 29th of that year. So, yeah. So he showed up for me. He showed up for me. And, he doesn't always give us what we want, but he gives us absolutely what we need. And he can give us much better, greater gifts than we ever imagined, we ever thought possible. So, I mean, again, I just see his word coming true more and more in my life, and more of those verses just jumping off the pages and leaping out into like a screenplay in my life. And it still blows me away. It's just his goodness and grace is just incredible.
Beyond words. Amen. Beyond words. What do you think, Steph? Anybody?
God, I think God has a serious sense of humor. You know, I just want to first acknowledge it's okay to be angry. It's okay to go to God and be angry. Today, actually, depending on when you're watching this, he was flipping tables, you know, in the temple, because it's the Monday before he dies. And it's okay. It's what we do with that, right? And it's okay to go to him. And sometimes we need to do that and let it out, or the sorrow, or all of these things that we're going through. But he is like a good dad. He knows best. And just looking at us like, are you done with that yet? I have this great plan for you, but you're so busy over here having a fit, you know? And I think he was just saying, okay, I'll give you one on December 29th. But he said, but we're going to make it real speedy. And so it's not going to go like you want. It just makes me giggle at his sweetness, at his redemption.
Yes.
My dad used to say, and then I corroborated that when I became a dad with my kids, when I get to heaven, you know, one of the people I can't wait to talk to, Tank? Joseph. Because like Steph just said, I want to know what Jesus was like. He was fully God, but he was also fully man. That meant he was a boy going through all these things. And I want to know how he got through some of these things and Joseph's stories about, like Steph was just saying, you should have been there the time Jesus came in the house. You know what he said to Mary and I? It was unbelievable. I'm looking forward to that someday and see what, because he loves us that way, just like Steph was saying.
I'll tell parents, you know, when you forgot to pick up your kid at school or something, and go, hey, don't feel bad. I mean, Jesus' parents left him behind for 3 or 4 days and finally came back and found him in the temple. And his response was, where the hell did you think I was going to go, mom and dad? My place.
Is that why he said that, Tank?
It may not be a quote. That may be his CIV, the Thayer Interpretive Version.
Yeah, I see.
He quotes that a lot.
Yeah. Or tank, I'd, like tank to, I'd like to propose that, like, well, not propose, but talk about maybe three things really quickly. Number one, I always am amazed at the way God guides a conversation. You know, like tonight, yeah, I was prepared for personal safety and what are things we can do to protect ourselves and da-da-da-da-da, you know. But Steph, I just love the way you just stepped in there and followed the way, you know, the Lord was leading. That's the first thing. To comment on a couple of things that you said, and Stephanie, one or two. Thanks, wife. I like the way you've interjected the thought that it's okay to get angry with God. He certainly understands our anger. I mean, my goodness. But one of the things that Stephanie shared with us, Stephanie Prentice, one of the things that Steph shared with us is when she came to Christ, had a lot of questions, very few answers. You grow into those more mature questions, I think, as we go along the way. In my bringing up days early on in the ministry, we had these wonderful things called altar calls. Do you remember that? And the preacher would preach, and at the end he'd get an invitation, and you know, people come down to the front and they wanted accepted the Lord and be prayed for, things like that. I read a fascinating article about altar calls. Sometimes we do an injustice in those, but the injustice comes at the point of saying, just come to Jesus, life will be good, no more problems. You know, you'll just go from good to good to good to better to better to better. Well, we know that's not realistic. And I think sometimes if when we came to Jesus, I was 14 when I gave my heart to him. If we could have seen the picture down the road, I wonder how many people would sign up for that, you know, because it's a tough journey, and we learn much more through suffering than we do going to Disneyland in our faith. Which brings me to the final thing I'd like to share. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul was named Saul, and his great mission was to seek out believers and do damage to them? And of course, the Lord turned his life around. But it's a conversation that the Holy Spirit had with Ananias, which I think is fascinating. He said to Ananias, he says, I want you to go and lay hands on this guy because he's blind. And Ananias's answer was, he says, no, I know this guy's reputation, and I don't think I'm your guy. I don't want to do that. And the answer that the Holy Spirit gave was so precious. He said, oh, you will do this because this man, speaking of Saul, this man will suffer much for me. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder how we put that in a package sometime in our own brain, in our terms of becoming what God has envisioned us to be. We don't like the suffering part, and we'd like to push that aside because we want to learn some other way. But isn't it fascinating how much we've learned? Stephanie, what you said a while ago, I'm not sure I wouldn't want to go through that again. And that, boy, isn't that absolutely true. I think all of us on this program, we certainly know what it's like to walk through dark times and tough valleys and things like that. But I try to put it in perspective when Paul talked about some of his suffering. My goodness, shipwrecked, stone thrown outside the city and all those things. But what did he do? He got back up and he went back in and he started preaching again. And it has a wonderful way of tempering our hearts and tempering our anger and also tempering our sense of surprise about God. I think he has a wonderful name, Surprise, and we forget that sometimes. But I just want to thank you, Steph, for your boldness in sharing what God is presently doing in your life, because he's not finished. The story's not over. The final chapter hasn't been written. And boy, the people that you're going to touch and the lives that are going to be changed because of your faithfulness is just, it's going to be amazing. It already is. But the more he reveals himself, it's going to plant important seeds in people's lives that will grow And I just want to thank you for being faithful, even in your questioning and because of your questioning, because I think we learned much from that. So I just wanted to throw that in. Didn't want to take up too much time, but I just think those are important points, you know, yes. that we can't see down the road. Lord, we can't even see what's going to happen at, you know, 10 o'clock tonight. Mm-hmm. Of course, you on the West Coast can tell me, but or the East Coast, because you've already lived it. So you'll fill us in. But I just appreciate your spirit. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I just want to piggyback off something that you said that just brought to mind. So we recently had a lady in church. So I also have done security sometime for Fellowship Christian Church. And we had one of the pastor's wives, their son had been sick and he was trying to get a scholarship in baseball, and he had come to the Lord and he'd, you know, brought a lot of teammates to the Lord, and he's suffering these kind of bizarre health issues and trying to figure that out. And, you know, timing is of the essence and him being well and everything. And I'm praying with the other mom and I'm talking to her, and the Lord's placing things on my heart to share with her. And I'm still getting my questions. It's like, hey, wait a second. It says for your believers, right? And the more righteous you are, that I think the better God's supposed to be to you and with you, right? That's just what makes sense in my mind. So I'm like, okay, this is such a righteous family, and this boy is doing it. And it says in your word, Lord, doesn't it say that no harm will come against your people, right? That are yours, that belong to you. So what's up with that? What's up with that? And he said, what is harm, Steph? What is harm? Yeah. And I'm like, well, you know, harm, like hurt. You said not a hair on our head will be touched without you. And he said, I waste nothing, Steph. I don't waste anything. What is the ultimate harm? Being without you, Father, being without you. He said, exactly. So he's eternally minded. And I try to think eternally minded, but that's still too big for me sometimes, right? So the ultimate harm to me is being taken away from God. That will never come. Once I abide in him and he is in me, that is it. It is finished. And he said, in anything difficult, painful, all of the valley experiences, he said, those only come to you if I'm going to bring something potent and good out of that. Mm-hmm. So you have to work with me to find it, right? You've got to use me as your guide to find the treasure. Without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can find nothing. You can resurrect nothing. You can redeem nothing. But with me, all things are possible. Sorry. All things, not some, all. And so all this stuff is just woven. And so my questions, I still take to him. I still take to him. And he still is so gracious and patient and answers me. So yes, it is in the valleys that we have to dig deep, but that is where the greatest glory comes from. And anything he asks us to walk through that is difficult or hard or any suffering, there is inversely proportional good, greater good that can come out of that. And so I don't want better. I want best, and I want God's best. And so I just keep talking to him.
Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so he said, yeah, what's the ultimate? I'm never going to be separated from him. And like Paul said, your testimony, what you're sharing, we probably wouldn't understand some of the situations you've had to face in life just on the job and in work and such. But to walk with him faithfully like that, like Paul was saying, there's no telling what's coming. And what's coming here in our nation and in the church and everything else is going to take people that have walked down the road and got stomped on. Old Dr. Sands used to say, I wouldn't give a wooden nickel for anybody in my church that hadn't been run over, stomped on, spit on, and had to crawl out of a pothole of life and say, got you, Lord, and realize that he's holding onto your hand, pulling you up and saying, oh, that was nothing. Let me show you what we got now. Because he's right. Always working. Dr. Sands pastored that church 42 years.
Wow.
What a testimony he had there. And I think that's fantastic. We're going to have you back again, because we want to hear some of the things that's happening again. Furthermore, now, no wonder Frank said what he said, how much he appreciates you and being there. And well, I would be so surprised. That there's Ron. He must have taken care of that meeting. And Ron, this is Stephanie. Stephanie, this is Ron.
Hi, Stephanie. Are we about to start? Are we about to start or what?
Yeah, right. It's all right. It's all right. It's good to see you. And yeah, you bring joy and glow to it. Plus, you can sing happy tales at the end now. This is going to be good. So we close off. But any event, Stephanie, you kind of know what you go through with Frank and all. And I'd like to ask our Stephanie, Steph, was that one or two, Paul? I forgot. Which second? Yeah. If she'd give a word for us, somebody sent a donation to a gift, they said, to help this ministry so they could hear people like you, Stephanie, sharing from your heart, your life, your experience, and showing and proving that God is right there. I'm just excited what God's doing. I know we all are. If Steph could share a word. This person shared a small donation and said, this is just a little bit. I said, no, anything coming for God's like the widow's mite. It means everything. Very, yes. Very special. And I'm thinking of this person, and I'm thinking I'm going to send a text and say, you heard Stephanie. That might have been the thumbs up. You had thumbs going by you if you didn't notice.
Oh.
Checking in on that, right, Stephanie?
It's some setting on our software. So what Joe was asking me to do is just share about the show, how you can donate, how you can find out information. So you can go to our website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. At the top there, we have all the various ways that you can donate. And like Joe said, you know, it does take money to do production. And so every little bit, it really does make a difference. So there is no amount that's too small or too big. If you like to send things via snail mail, when you scroll down a little bit, you can see instructions on how to reach out to Pastor Joe directly. And they're on the upper right. I didn't highlight it so much, but there are the live shows, like we're live right now. And then all the recordings get, yeah, up there on the right. You can see the little things, but sorry, TJ, as you scroll down, you can find recordings from prior shows. So there's all the prior shows. If you wanted to recap something, you want to share it with someone. That's a great way to help us, is to like things when you see them posted, share them with others. If it's a story that you know would benefit someone, share that. And then if you keep going down, you can learn about each one of us as co-hosts and, you know, all the different platforms to connect with us. And also the two books. So Pastor Joe's book, Craig's book. And, you know, it's an honor to spend time here each week. And these co-hosts do not brag about themselves, but they are God warriors, and they have amazing stories and time of faithfulness. And so it's just wonderful to be able to come together and just share and things like this, like Steph absolutely blessing us. And I just want to highlight, you said something that really stood out to me. I put big stars because I actually take notes too. And that's Paul's fault, Pastor Paul's fault. You said God doesn't waste anything, that's what he told you. And that is so true. So simple and so profound. God does not waste whatever yucky you're in or you've been through. It is not to be wasted.
Amen. Amen. And I love that word yucky. Finally, somebody used it. That is a deep theological word. I like that.
The technical term. Yes.
If you had kids, yucky's important, right, Stephanie? That's good.
Yes, that's great.
So, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad you tuned in tonight. And boy, Ron, you're a champ. We just love you, buddy. You came in and yeah, I know you got that meeting. But Stephanie,
I try.
Everybody, we want you to come back. We want you to share some more as God lays it on your heart, because we want to hear about some of those yucky victories and the success and the glow of God that lifts you beyond them. Like Stephanie, that Steph said, I'm getting confused, Hank.
Hey, TJ message said we have a little extra time. So a recap.
Yeah, that's it. Well, when we bring you back too, and I want to get you scheduled right off. And so we're going to give you enough time, maybe a month and a half out, but we're just grateful for your life and who you are and your family. And thanks. And we're grateful you're with Frank and all the, it's a great group. And you're in our prayers. You have been in our prayers. We'll continue to pray for you. And in fact, I'm going to ask Stephanie, can you give a 30 second? God doesn't check them. Steph, our Steph, Yeah, step one. Do you pray for Stephanie? Yeah, and just ask God to let her through this.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I would love to. Dear Lord, I want to lift Steph up to you. I just thank you so mm-hmm. much that you were able to carve out time for her. I know that it's hard with her schedule, Lord. And oh, that you just were so present with her and that you just had her come right out of the gate, Lord, with, you know, something hard and deep and so important, Lord. I just ask that her words resonate with whoever needs to hear it that's going through the yuck, Lord. I also ask that you just give her blessings from this, give her confirmation from others that sharing her story and being vulnerable and about just the loss of little ones, Lord, that you just give her another little notch there to show her, I am using this for purpose. I see you, my good and faithful servant. Just ask that you fill her up and you be with her this week as she goes, Lord, and just continue to encourage her in her boldness and in speaking to her, because clearly you guys are in regular communication. It's such a beautiful thing to hear, Lord. I just ask that you continue to be very alive for her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so
Ladies
much.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's that? Sorry.
She said, saying thank you so much for that. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Well, you're just going to end up part of the family. That's what we end up doing. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. We all love you for being a part of 77 of our show, being with us each week, and we pray that God will bless you. And boy, Ron, you're a champ. Love you, buddy. Comes running in. He had a meeting. So he's going to lead us on the way out. And since we're in Texas and Stephanie's in Texas also, we're going to leave with a famous song that reminds you of Texas. Here we go. Here we go. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Hit it, Ron.
Thank you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Bye bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
Perfect.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.